and welcome to the Triathlon Coach Podcast. My name's Simon Ward and I'm your host for this weekly show where my goal is to share practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximise your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. If you don't already know me, I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, and I've been a triathlon coach for over 20 years, working with absolute beginners right up to Olympic athletes and coaching them to race at distances from sprint through to Ironman. Reviews and ratings are the currency of podcasts, so if you enjoy today's conversation, I'd really appreciate it if you could drop into iTunes, Podbean or Stitcher and leave a rating and a review. And while you're there, please subscribe to our weekly episodes so that they can be downloaded straight into your phone or your iPad or wherever you choose to listen to them. And finally, to say thank you, I have a free gift for you. I've put together 25 of my top tips amassed from 30 years of racing and training and coaching in the sport. All you have to do is email triathlonsuccess to beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she'll send it right out to you. Okay, now it's time to crack on with today's guest. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Triathlon Coach SWATcast. Today, my guest is Shannon Fizer, performance nutritionist for Thud. So welcome to the show, Shannon.
Thanks, Simon. Happy to be here.
Yeah, coming up to Christmas now, so a really good time to be chatting to a nutritionist, I think. Do you get a lot of people contacting you at this time of the year, or do they tend to wait until they're on with their New Year's resolutions in January?
They do tend to wait until January. I find a lot of people feel that they don't want to think too hard about their nutrition this time of year. They just want to get on with the partying.
Yeah, and given that final sentence there, the fact that they don't want to think too much about their nutrition, do you think that actually leads to problems, particularly for our recreational athletes who also have goals beyond just enjoying Christmas and sort of some time in the new year?
I do think there's not... Yes, it can create problems in that you see people, either they end up ill or put on more weight than they really need to over Christmas, because there is this misconception that you cannot, you know, manage your diet and enjoy Christmas to the full, when of course you can do both.
Yeah, and that's exactly the thing that I wanted to pick up on with you today, really. I suppose I like to call it mindfulness with our eating, rather than when you know, the sentence you said earlier about people just switching off with their eating and getting on with having a party is they're mindless about what they do, really. They just eat what's in front of them, drink what's in front of them, and, you know, and then moan about the consequences after the new year.
Yes, I do find that you end up with that quite a lot. And I think that people would actually enjoy their holiday celebrations more if they were a little bit more mindful.
So you wrote a blog last week, which our listeners can find on your own personal website, shannonfizer.com. And we'll make a note of that in the show notes for them to refer to, called Minimizing the Damage at Christmas. That's a perfect title and exactly the sort of content that I want to sort of get through today. Now, it all starts, your blog starts with this idea that we need to just keep eating healthily and maintain our normal fitness regime. Now, the big issue that I sometimes find with the triathletes I work with is that they earmark this Christmas period as an opportunity to, what they say, they'll say, smash in a whole load of training while they're off work. But the problem occurs when, at the same time as trying to train hard, they're then maybe going out in the evenings to meet with friends, be sociable. They're perhaps, their normal sleep routine is disturbed a bit. They may go to bed a little later. They might balance that by getting up a little later. But as you and I both know from the research, one of the key things with sleep quality is about maintaining consistency of the time you go to bed and the time you get up. On top of that, then, they are probably drinking just a touch more than normal. And with that alcohol consumption, their sleep patterns might be disturbed. And the thing that probably kills them off is this socializing in large groups. So a greater potential for picking up bugs as they shake hands and kiss people and dance around and forget about cleanliness and hygiene when they're having a few drinks. Are those the sort of issues you see, or am I sort of being a bit too dramatic there?
No, absolutely. And I do see people who make all these big plans over Christmas. This year it will be different. And I always feel like saying it's not going to be. This Christmas will probably be very much like the one before and the one before that. And even if you want it to change, your family and friends, they want to see you. They want to go out and enjoy your company. So you may think you're going to have all this time to train, but you may find that you have less time than you think because you have all these demands of friends and family. Or you may find that you don't feel like training as much because maybe your nutrition's not as good, your sleep is not as good, you're drinking more alcohol, so there's the slight hangover. All these things can contribute to actually training less over Christmas than you think you're going to.
Yeah, and I mean, if we look at the calendar this year, Christmas Eve falls on a Monday. So I guess a lot of people, unless they've got some holiday to use, a lot of people will probably be working up to about the 21st. So you've got Christmas Day on the Tuesday. Then New Year's Day falls a week later. So you've got New Year's Eve on the Monday. So it's probably going to be a 10-day spell when people are off work. They're probably already going to parties now on the weekends, but probably not that much. So maybe it's that 10-day spell we need to be thinking about, from maybe the Friday they break up to the Thursday of that week. I don't know. Maybe some people will be taking 2 weeks off, so maybe it's a 2-week spell that we need to be thinking about. But in terms of referring back to your blog, your first point is about keep to your usual healthy eating and fitness regime as long as possible. So can you just dive in a little deeper and explain what's behind that thought?
Sure. Just bearing in mind that the blog post was put up last week on the 5th of December, when we still had several weeks to go before Christmas. The idea there is that the longer you can maintain your usual routine, the easier it will be to get back into a routine in January. And of course, the less damage you're going to do. So there's nothing wrong with going out on a Christmas party on a Saturday night, you know, once. The problem comes when people view the entire month of December as an opportunity to let loose, do no exercise, overeat, and drink way too much. Now, of course, if you're going to have a few days of overeating and drinking, that's absolutely fine. You might put on a pound or two, but there's not going to be any major consequences. The problem is that when a couple of days becomes 2 or even 3 weeks of no exercise, little sleep, too much alcohol, and so on and so forth.
I think if the triathletes are my age, Shannon, when you've had one night out, you need about 4 or 5 to recover. So you don't actually want more than one party per week. Otherwise, you are destroyed.
Well, you also have the problem of a lot of people start to see December as not one constant party, but the mince pies appear in the shop and they start appearing in the shopping basket every single week.
Yeah.
So it becomes obviously we expect to, you know, enjoy ourselves on Christmas Day, have some alcoholic drinks, eat way too much food. It's part of the fun. The problem comes when people start gradually increasing their calorie intake through the entire month of December. And most of those calories are coming from the mince pies and cakes and treats.
So we're talking of in a previous podcast we did with Phil Maffetone, we talked about the impact of processed carbohydrates and refined sugars. And that's exactly what you're talking about there, really, isn't it? And equally, if you're enjoying some mulled wine or if you have a little glass of Baileys with extra calories in those as well, you know, I guess, or one of those, I was horrified to see the calorific content of some of the specialty coffees and hot chocolates that they're offering at Starbucks and Costa this Christmas. You know, it looks like a liquid cake when I look at them. They are spectacular, but you go to the counter and I think there's one section where you might be able to get scrambled eggs with some chorizo and some tomatoes, and the rest of it is just, it's just pure calories.
It is. And there's a certain point, if you have just been out for a 3-hour long ride, then by all means, have a slice of cake. On the other hand, if you haven't done any exercise in 3 days, and the reason you're eating this food is because you're massively hungover from the night before, it's really not doing you any good.
Yeah, and I suppose, like you say, the issue is, you know, you catch up with these friends, so I'll go and meet those guys for a coffee today, and I'll have a little cake and a hot chocolate with them because it's Christmas, and then, you know, then you go out to somebody else's house for lunch, and there's a bit of Christmas cake there. And then in the evening you go out for dinner and somebody says, well, why not have a dessert? It's Christmas. It's those little extras that you're talking about, aren't they, that add the calories onto your normal daily intake.
Yes, exactly. And it's those little extras that can start quite early on with, you know, some people having their office Christmas party the last week in November. And so they're overeating and starting to drink and everything for weeks and weeks. And that's where the real problems come. It's not one day of Christmas. It's a whole month of Christmas events and overeating and drinking that really causes the most damage.
Do you know that the killers for me, Shannon, were always those tins of Quality Street that we had in the house. You know, we might buy a tin of Quality Street and have it on poolside as a little Christmas celebration for the swimmers when they walk off. But there'll be half a tin left, and so we'll take it home. And every time I go to make a cup of tea, I would help myself to a little sweet here and there. It would only take me a couple of days to get through them. So I guess I was consuming lots of extra calories. It doesn't happen anymore. As I've curbed my sugar intake, but yeah, that was my little killer. Just the tiny little innocent Quality Streets that were calling my name every time I passed them.
Well, and that becomes the issue for everyone, including myself, is that the fridge becomes full of good things. There's the extra cheeses that show up. There are the chocolates. There are the Christmas cookies that you only make once a year, but they're still cookies. There are the leftovers from Christmas dinner. Oh, a couple of pigs in blankets here and there. And yes, before you know it, it's easily an extra 500 to even 1,000 extra calories a day. And most of those calories are necessary.
Yeah, and
most of those calories are from sugar, alcohol, and refined carbohydrates and saturated fats, which, while delicious, are not doing you any favors.
Okay. Do you think we might have got the message through to people now?
I think we do. It's you can enjoy yourself for a few days, but please don't make it 4 weeks of going off the rails.
Now, I suppose we could combine your first point with the second point, that some exercise is better than none. But before we do that, I'll go back to that first comment that I made about the sort of planning of triathletes is to use that Christmas period to pile in some training. Now, often what we find is the swimming pools are closed the Christmas break, particularly if they're council run facilities. The private pools are probably open, apart from the bank holidays. So in the absence of being able to go swimming, there is always the lure of going out for a run or to get out on your bike. And so people tend to load up on these. And for the reasons you've just mentioned, and the ones that I mentioned, I'm never really keen on this. However, what you're saying is, look, just be active, really. You'll be able to keep your fitness if you just get out, do something. It's better than sitting in by the fire and having another hot chocolate.
Yes, exactly. The idea is to simply not spend 2 full weeks on the couch overeating constantly. So anything you can fit in is better than nothing. If you have time for your usual hour-long run, by all means, get out there, get it done. Enjoy having a bit of extra time. And hey, if you've got the time, go the whole hog, do some foam rolling and stretching afterwards, those little bits that you might neglect because you're always rushing off to work after your workout or have other things to do. But for many of us, we make all these big plans and find that we have less time than we want, or that our family and friends, when we're visiting, say, our parents, they expect us to spend time with them and not always be going out for runs and rides and be gone for hours. So the idea here is to simply spend time doing things rather than just sitting on the sofa. Now, this could be maybe you get the whole family out for a walk. Maybe rather than meeting for one of those gigante mocha frappuccino coffees, you go out with friends, go bowling, go ice skating, do something that's just a little bit more active than simply laying on the couch.
Yeah, and just going back to that point about planned exercises, if you do get to house of your friends or family and they've got some other stuff planned that isn't activity or exercise, then you can get quite frustrated. I know triathletes get frustrated if they can't follow their program. So if you have it planned and then you can't do it and it's frustrating, then it's going to wind you up a little bit. So again, perhaps not to plan it in the first place and take the opportunities when they arise. I particularly like things that, you know, as long as it's not 100 miles away, if we were going to friends, we might agree that I would cycle over there or cycle back if it was a lunchtime or something, so I could use the journey there as my exercise for the day rather than doing it once I get there.
Yeah, there's also a lot you can do sort of around the house with your family. So some of those things that, okay, it might not help your fitness, but it'll certainly keep you more active and help you not to pile on the pounds, is to simply find ways to stand up more. So, for example, you could volunteer to help with the cooking and the washing up and the decorating and cleaning. And so, you know, anything you're doing where you're sort of standing and walking around a bit rather than laying on the sofa will absolutely keep you fitter and keep the pounds off. And of course, the added advantage of volunteering to do the washing up is it will endear you to your family.
Am I right in thinking, Shannon, that there's a fair amount of research evidence to back up the idea that if you can go for a walk after a meal, it helps with your metabolism, it helps with your digestion, it helps with all of those hormones that are released around eating, and that in turn is much healthier than just sitting down to have a nap in front of the fire.
Absolutely. Any activity, including just standing around and walking, will help to keep your metabolism ticking over. Because one of the problems you have over Christmas is if you really go the whole hog in terms of doing no exercise, really overeating and just laying on the sofa for 10 days, is that your metabolism will start to slow down. You will start to lose a bit of muscle mass. Fat mass will go up depending on how many extra calories a day you're having. And this can really affect both your energy levels and your ability to get back into exercise once January hits and you're ready to go. So one of the ways to keep your metabolism ticking over is to simply not spend the whole day laying on the couch. And yes, exercise, particularly around meal times. So a little walk after dinner can help things to settle and digest. Spending more time standing and moving around throughout the day can be very helpful. Anything you can do to stay active and keep your metabolism high can also be can just help with all of this. Another point I wanted to make along those lines is not just the activity between meals, but to try not to spend the whole day eating constantly. So one of the points that I didn't emphasize in the blog post, but which I think is very relevant Christmas week, is to try and space your meals out a bit. So when you eat a big meal, what happens is your hunger hormone, ghrelin, goes down as your stomach fills up. And then as you digest and your stomach empties, very gradually over several hours, the levels of your hunger hormone, ghrelin, will rise again. And when they get to a certain level, you'll start to feel hungry again. However, ghrelin has a secondary effect, which is that as levels of ghrelin rise, it signals the body to use fat as fuel. So it tells you that there's not a lot of food in your stomach, so you'd better start burning your fat stores to be able to continue living and breathing and exercising and doing all the things we do. If you, on the other hand, are constantly filling your stomach, so you have lunch and then an hour later you have a couple cookies and then a couple hours after that you have a big hot chocolate, ooh, and maybe a mince pie, and then someone's passing around the cheese. And so it's sort of you're eating every hour to 2 hours, and so your stomach is never empty. Your ghrelin levels never rise, so you never have this signal to burn fat. So one of the simple things you can do over Christmas to keep your sort of fat burning high and just give your body a little helping hand is to try and stop eating for, you know, 3 or 4 hours between meals. So have your breakfast and then don't have anything to eat for at least 3 hours before you have a snack. Now that snack could be, I don't know, tea and mince pies if that's what you fancy. But the point is to not eat constantly throughout the whole day. It's to give your body between 3 and 5 hours between each of your eating occasions so that you do get that signal, am I actually hungry? And your body will actually burn some of this fat that you are eating.
You talk about in your blog about doing little blocks of exercise. I know chatting with Dave Scott, he says, look, even when you have a busy schedule, not at Christmas time, sometimes people can their session because they've only got 20 minutes, but you can do an awful lot in 20 minutes. You talk about high intensity intervals. I have a little kettlebell in my kitchen here, and I, throughout the day while the kettle's boiling, I might pick it up and do a 3 or 4 minute circuit, but I do that 4 or 5 times a day. I guess that if we if we're picking those little blocks of activity to do, 5 or 10 minutes here and there, running up and down the stairs 10 times, you know, doing 60 seconds of star jumps every hour, that keeps our metabolism up, doesn't it? And it helps. There's a lot of other hormones that it reactivates as well that go to sleep if we sit down for too long. So the constant little bits of activity when you have a moment, you know, doing 60 seconds of squats while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, taking the opportunity to get out of your seat and go make everybody else a cup of tea rather than waiting for it to come to you. If you have to go and use the bathroom, take the opportunity to run upstairs to the bathroom instead of using the one downstairs. You know, there's lots of little opportunities if we can see them and use the time to take advantage of them.
Absolutely. And it is all about being flexible and being willing to, okay, maybe I can't do an hour long run, but could I do 20 minutes of some other activity instead? And just keeping moving.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you mentioned about the eating there. Now, personally, I know when I've had a real big meal, you know, and it's a bit stodgy, I do like to have a salad or maybe a soup or just something that's got some healthy vegetables in it for the next meal. It is a bit more challenging around the Christmas time because of the issues you mentioned earlier about all those treats being around. But you talk about making sure you balance treats with real food. So maybe you can expand a little bit more on that one, Shannon.
Of course. I find that at Christmas time, the traditional Christmas dinner and Christmas party foods, if you will, tend to be very low on nutrient-dense, healthy foods like fruit and vegetables, low-fat dairy, lean meats, all these things that are going to give us the vitamins and minerals we need to stay healthy in this season. So one of the things you can do that will help you both to fill up so you don't eat as many treats and make sure you're getting all the vitamins and minerals you need is to try and focus a little bit on getting enough fruit and veg in your life and whole grains and all these healthy foods, and then put the treats on top. So, for example, think about what seasonal vegetables you can serve with your meals at this time of year. So there are some great things. So you have your red cabbage, lots of balsamic cabbage recipes out there. Brussels sprouts, of course, in season this time of year and readily available. You can also do things like beetroot salad with orange segments, which is delicious. You can look at, of course, satsumas, cranberries, pomegranates. These are all fruits that are in season, very available at the moment, and which can be sort of treats in themselves if you treat them correctly. So the other thing to think about is not just, okay, I'm going to have my turkey and I'm going to have my stuffing and my roast potatoes, is to actually give your vegetables some love. Look up some festive recipes, look up some good salads, and just think about, okay, how am I going to get my fruit and veg in? And of course, along with that, think a little bit about how am I going to get some whole grains in? So we talked about treats being a lot of simple carbohydrates, white flour, white sugar. Well, in addition to spiking your insulin levels, these also have a detrimental effect on your gut bacteria. So you have millions of bacteria living in your gut, which can influence everything from your weight to your fitness levels. They boost your immunity. They can affect your mood. So you really want your gut bacteria to stay nice and healthy. And the number one thing you can do to keep your gut bacteria healthy is to get plenty of fiber in your diet. And most of our fiber comes from whole grains. So this would be things like whole wheat flour, brown rice, quinoa, lentils, anything that's quite fibrous, like fruit and veg. These will all be high in the fiber that's going to keep your gut bacteria healthy.
What do you think, Shannon, about the idea of identifying ahead of time the areas or the dates or the times of these functions that we're going to be going to? So we probably have all got our invitations now to go out with friends or to go to a party. We know what we're doing, or most people know what they're doing for Christmas Day and Boxing Day. If you're going out to dinner at a restaurant, you probably have to book it a month in advance, so you'll already know that. So there will be things marked in the diary. There will be last-minute invitations from friends who are passing by and want to know if you want to go out for a beer or for a coffee. But there'll be lots of opportunities to eat well. And maybe what we could do is have a little timetable that's on the wall that clearly earmarks the times when we're going to relax and enjoy ourselves, but also on the opposite side of that, the times when we're going to make a real attempt to eat those foods that you've just mentioned, the healthy, nutrient-dense foods to balance out our excesses.
Absolutely. I often say to my clients that if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Healthy eating is very much about planning. Very sadly, many parts of society do not make it easy to eat healthily. As you just mentioned, you go into the Starbucks this time of year and it's all simple sugars and gigante mocha frappuccinos and caramel lattes. However, if you have a plan for what you're going to eat when, you can, of course, either avoid these situations or ensure that you are getting enough healthy food at other times. So, for example, just because it's December doesn't mean you should give up your normal breakfast of, say, porridge with fruit and nuts on it, which would be quite nutrient dense and get you a portion of fruit and veg. If you know that you're going out for a big dinner in the evening, you can absolutely plan to have something healthy, like a large salad with quinoa, plenty of veg, some heart-healthy olive oil on it for lunch. And that way, you before you hit the restaurant, you've already got your five a day. And then you know that whatever you decide to eat at the restaurant, you're covered.
Yeah, but even then, when you go to the restaurant, Shannon, you can, you know, if you're going to have something that's a bit more laden with fat, you know, you might go for the burger and chips or something. You could start off with a vegetable soup to sort of make half of your meal healthy, couldn't you? So you don't have to go all
Absolutely.
In on your evening meal.
And I would highly encourage people to look ahead for what the menu is at the chosen restaurant and sort of decide what you're going to have. Now, of course, you may choose to have the burger if it is a rare treat. If you never eat burgers and you fancy one, go for it. This is the time to have it. But at the same time, you can look at the rest of the menu. And we tend to make healthier choices if we choose the foods before we're absolutely starving. So if you look at the menu a few hours beforehand and say, well, actually, they have a really nice baked salmon and whole grain couscous with some green veg, and that looks really appetizing. Decide in your mind that's what you're going to order before you get there, because you're more likely to order something like that when you're not hungry than when you are. So if you get there and you're absolutely starving, you're far more likely to choose the burger and chips.
I have a friend who's a model, and when she needed to keep in shape for photo shoots, she just ordered fish of the day and seasonal vegetables, no sauce, sparkling water alongside. She didn't even look at the menu. And that was her way of avoiding all of the temptations.
It is. And it's also about deciding when you're going to give in to temptation. So, you know, yes, Christmas is a time of year when you should enjoy yourself and you should go out with friends and family. But sometimes we can have too many social occasions in too short a space of time. So decide what are the occasions where, okay, yes, you're going to pay attention to the menu. You're going to decide in advance that you're going to have the seasonal veg and the fish. And what are the occasions where you're okay with just turning up and having whatever you fancy?
I think that point there about deciding when you're going to give in to temptation is really important, because it's really difficult to be absolutely on it 100% of the time, you know. And if you are able to stay on it for 100% of the time, actually, you'll end up crashing and burning at some point. You know, I think it's almost impossible, unless you're a Trappist monk, to maintain that level of fastidiousness with your eating. But enjoying the occasional treat means that it does become a treat and not the norm, and enables you to go, right, well, that was my treat. Now I'm going to go back to my healthy way of eating until next Friday, when I'm going to, you know, let my hair down and there's no rules.
I agree. And I also think that's particularly an important point to make today, as yesterday the hashtag Train Brave campaign got started on relative energy deficiency in sport. In other words, endurance athletes with eating disorders.
Yeah.
So I always say to my athletes that, you know, triathletes, we can be quite perfectionist as triathletes and endurance athletes. We can want to have the perfect training plan, the perfect diet. We want to get everything right so that when we line up on race day, it all goes well. And that's absolutely fine. It makes us healthier than the general population most of the time. But if you take it to a bit of an extreme and you find yourself trying to maintain perfectly healthy diets over the Christmas period, you're dieting on Christmas Day, that can easily tip over into a bad relationship with food. So what I would suggest is that, yeah, you relax and let yourself enjoy your food on occasion. obviously not weeks at a time every day, but this is a great time of year to relax and sort of say, yeah, I'm going to have some occasions where I just eat whatever I want.
I'm trying to remember the name of the Olympic 200 meter sprinter from Australia who won a gold medal there. Do you remember her name?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, it'll come back to me eventually. But she, I remember her talking about how on the Christmas before the 2000,
yes.
Oh, Kathy Freeman, before the 2000 Olympics, so Christmas 1999, she was so focused on winning gold medals there that on Christmas Day, she had a mouthful of Christmas pudding, chewed it for a minute or two to get the flavor, and then spat it all out because she didn't dare have those extra calories. I mean, you know, sure, you want to win an Olympic medal, but for me, maybe that's why I was never an Olympic medalist.
There's more acknowledgement nowadays that such behavior, even in an Olympic athlete, is just not healthy. There is no way that the extra 25 calories, one bite of Christmas pudding, 8 months before the Olympics would have any effect whatsoever.
No, not at all. There was actually some, you talked about REDS there, which is the relative energy deficiency, which is in the news. There was an article in the paper yesterday about a UK runner, distance runner. She got picked for Great Britain. I think she went to Canada, and not long after she competed, she found out she'd got these stress fractures, and it was all down to her nutrition. It was all down to her ultra low body fat percentage and the way in which she avoided certain foodstuffs, and that led to that sort of, you know, probably that female athlete triad as well, which is something we should be concerned about, you know, and something that I and my fellow coaches should be knowledgeable about and concerned about.
It is very much something that there's becoming more awareness of. Now, I have to say personally, when I was doing my master's degree in sport and exercise nutrition, I did my dissertation on REDS in male endurance athletes, so male marathon runners. So this is something I studied at university and investigated. And it used to be thought that it was just the female athlete triad, where you had female athletes who were specifically dieting or had an eating disorder, who then also ended up with losing their periods. So they no longer menstruated because their bodies were in starvation mode. And this is obviously a bad time to have a baby. And then consequently, the dropping hormones led to them getting very low bone densities, which in turn leads to stress fractures. So often the first sign of REDS in an athlete, or the first big one, is in female athletes, they lose their periods. But in both male and female athletes, they end up with a stress fracture. Now, since sort of the first identification of the female athlete triad, we've now discovered that, yes, you do get it in male athletes as well, in that if they are not eating enough, testosterone levels will drop. Again, if you're starving, not a good time to have kids, so that function tends to go down. But you also end up with athletes who have what we call inadvertent REDS, in that they don't have an eating disorder, they're not dieting per se, but they're just not eating enough to support their level of training. And they're quite strict with themselves too often. So they never take time off to just eat whatever they want. They never take time off to sort of refeed. They're always just a little bit underfueled, but for years. And so they do end up with these same sorts of problems.
Yeah, the article, actually, I'll make reference to this as well, Shannon. It's on the BBC Health page. It was about Anna Boniface, who was a fastest amateur female runner in the 2017 London Marathon. She was running 10 miles into her international debut, her ankle fractured just as she was running, not because she'd gone over on it and you know, put a foot in a pothole or anything. It just fractured, and that was down to her poor bone density. So I'll refer to that in the show notes as well. Now, we've talked about food. Just before we go on, by the way, fasting is a big thing these days. You know, people do the 2-5 diet where they have 2 days of very low calorie intake. But there's also the restricted eating windows where people talk about eating their breakfast a little later in the day, having dinner a little earlier. So you're sort of inducing a fasting period of maybe 15 to 16 hours between sort of bedtime and your evening meal and the next meal the next day. When we're indulging over Christmas, how do you feel about the idea of the day after a blowout, as we might call it, one might get up and have breakfast a little later, call it brunch, and then have dinner. So you've naturally restricted your calorie window to two eating opportunities. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you feel that when people restrict their eating, they're then tempted to binge a bit later on, and so there's actually no difference
in
their calorie intake?
Well, actually, you put the nail on the head right there, Simon, because I always feel if it's something that causes you to eat less or eat more healthily, then that's fine. If it's something that, on the other hand, either causes you mental or social distress, as in skipping meals or eating early dinner means you don't eat with your family at this time of year, then that's perhaps not the best strategy. But if you use it as I didn't eat breakfast, therefore I can have an enormous dinner and dive into a tin of Quality Street afterwards, that's probably not going to do you any good. So you're probably far better off to resume normal service and just have a perhaps smaller than normal, but sort of just have your usual breakfast, have a healthy lunch and a healthy dinner, rather than trying to restrict things artificially if you don't normally do that.
There's a couple of eating habits that I know that I use with some of my clients, and you probably do as well, which can actually help you to limit your calorie intake when you're eating without deliberately restricting. The first one is to make sure that when you're having your meals, you sit at a table, you remove all the distractions. So you turn the TV off, you don't look at your phone. If there are other people around, you perhaps interact with them. Or if you're on your own, there's just a little bit more mindfulness about what you're eating, rather than just opening your mouth and shoveling food in while you watch the car chase scene on a James Bond movie. And the second thing, which links in with that, is to just eat more slowly. So introduce natural breaks. You maybe chew your food for a bit longer, and while you're chewing, you put your knife and fork down on the plate. When your mouth's empty, rather than having the next mouthful lined up, you take a couple of deep breaths. You know, something that you do to introduce a natural pause. You talked about those sort of hunger satiety hormones that are in the stomach that are released. I think it's 20 minutes when they start being released. So if you can naturally restrict your calorie intake over those 20 minutes, you're going to start feeling full after 20 minutes, and that will naturally limit the amount of food that you're going to be consuming. Do you use those
absolutely.
Tactics, and do you have any more?
One I like is to make sure you have a glass of water to hand that you either drink before the meal or with your meal, because we often confuse hunger and thirst. And particularly this time of year when alcohol intakes tend to be higher, a good thing is to make sure that you are well hydrated. And so, yes, having a glass of water with your meal rather than something, say, alcoholic or calorific, can be a really good technique to help you feel fuller a bit sooner. The other thing, of course, is to try and have those high fiber foods, which I talked about before, such as the vegetables, the whole grains. And then to also take a moment to sort of savor your food. So choose things that you know you will enjoy and don't always get. So I find that it helps if maybe you had a hand in preparing the food. Also, if you're eating with your family, serve the dishes on the table rather than on the plate. You're more likely to, believe it or not, you will eat less if you serve yourself a small first portion and then wait a few minutes and then have the option to have a second portion, rather than if you serve yourself an enormous plate of food from the get-go. Because too many of us have been raised with this idea of you must finish what's on your plate. So the trick is to not overfill your plate to start with. Start with a small plate of food, you know, eat it slowly, chat to your family and friends, wait a minute, and then if you still feel hungry, still want more, then yes, you can have more. But it's to make sure that you start small and go slowly and work your way up, rather than just serving a giant plate of food to start with.
Oh yeah, what do you think about the idea of drinking sparkling mineral water, Shannon? I've heard a few people talking about this. I know the cyclists were fond of doing this because they, you know, when they were trying to lose body weight and up their watts per kilo, they felt that the sparkling water and the gas in it made them feel a little more full than just normal.
Believe it or not, there's a new study out which I can provide you the link for, showing that people who eat carbonated beverages, including sparkling water and Coke Zero, are more likely to weigh more than people who drink flat beverages. So this was a study done admittedly in mice and then in humans. It's only one study, so we don't know if this is going to hold up over time, but it does show that the carbonation itself seems to have a negative impact on those satiety signals. In other words, people who drink carbonated beverages tend to eat more and weigh more than people who stick to flat beverages. So at the moment, I would not really advise, if the choice is, you know, sparkling water or beer, take the sparkling water. But if the choice is plain water, maybe with a bit of lemon, or sparkling water, I would say to just stick to plain water. Likewise, if the choice is Coca-Cola or juice, I would say you're better off with the juice.
Okay, right. Well, you're talking about drinking, Shannon, so let's move on to the elephant that's been sitting in the room for a bit. The Christmas celebrations aren't really Christmas celebrations unless there's a little bit of alcohol. And of course, it's this time of year when, I mean, we can all let things get out of hand once in a while, you know, a friend's 40th birthday, our own birthday, somebody's wedding or what have you. But at Christmas, it seems to get out of hand with a little bit more frequency. So what are your tactics for keeping the lid on, not avoiding drinking, but at least keeping the lid on it so that we can manage that and maintain our health? Because we do know that there are side effects from alcohol, with them affecting sleep and sleep patterns, and then the subsequent impact on your immune system that can make us more
absolutely
prone to picking
so
up germs.
One of the first thing I would say is you need to try really hard to have at least 2 alcohol-free days per week, ideally 3. Your liver does take a beating every time you get going on the alcohols, and it just like your body needs recovery time after a big bike ride, you need to give your liver some time to recover. So please do not go for 3-day benders. You'll be far better off if you've had a big night. Take at least 2 days to give your liver time to recover before you have even a single glass of wine again. The second thing I would suggest is to mix your alcoholic drinks with water. So, for example, if you've just had a glass of wine, have a glass of water before you have your next drink. Symptoms of hangovers and feeling god-awful the next day are actually due to dehydration. So you can really help with that by keeping drinking water throughout the evening. And just for every alcoholic drink, you need to have a glass of water. And that will really help you both fill you up a bit so you don't drink as much and keep you from becoming dehydrated. And of course, what I just said is the other point is try to line your stomach before you go out. If you know you're going to go to a party, it's your work due and it's free alcohol and you just know it's going to be a big night, make sure you eat before you go. As I said before, a lot of us confuse hunger and thirst. So if you don't have an afternoon snack, you had lunch at maybe 12, you go to the party at 8 o'clock at night, you haven't eaten in 7 or 8 hours, those first few drinks are going to hit you really hard, and you're probably going to drink them very fast because you're really hungry. So the best thing you can do is have something to eat, ideally something nice and carb heavy, because that will help soak up the alcohol. This will slow down the release of alcohol into your system. You won't drink as much because you're not hungry and thirsty, and you will feel better the next day if you eat and drink at the same time, rather than just drinking a lot and then having a kebab at 3 a.m.
And what about those opportunities at the office party, Shannon, where you're going to have a meal beforehand, but you don't get the chance? But there's crisps and sausage rolls there. Is it worse to have those? And are we having them because
we
failed to plan ahead?
I would say
you're
better off packing a healthy snack to have at 4 or 5 p.m. and then skipping the crisps and sausage rolls and then having the real food, whatever that is, at the Christmas dinner. Because even if the real food is, I don't know, a curry or pizza or whatever, we're back to that 3 or 4 hours between meals thing. So if you have lunch at noon, have a good snack at 4 or 5 p.m. before you go out, something healthy, yogurt with some oats in it, some overnight oats maybe, or like a healthy flapjack you've made yourself, something quite carby, but that's going to fill your and line your stomach a bit. And then, yeah, I would avoid the crisps and sausage rolls.
You make a good point about dehydration there, Shannon. And yeah, I think I've experienced myself that if I drink water, I tend to just water, I tend to go to the loo a lot more. It's almost like it's going straight through me. If I drink water combined with either an electrolyte tablet or mixed with some sea salt, I find that I don't go to the loo as much. And my assumption there is that the water's been absorbed into the cells, and so I'm staying more hydrated that way. Is that just, am I picking up the wrong signals there,
right,
or does that have any substance to it?
Cutting your drinks with water, having an electrolyte tablet or water with salt when you're actually at the pub or at the party can be a little bit difficult. So that's why I say water. But one of the best things you can do is when you get home, whatever hour that might be, is to have 500 mils of water with an electrolyte tablet in it before you go to bed. And it's more likely to stick with you and less likely to wake you up because the salt helps the water to stay with you and not, as you say, just run right through you. Now, part of the running right through you when you are out drinking is that it's the alcohol is a diuretic. So the alcohol does make you want to pee more often. So just bear in mind that having to pee very often when you drink a lot is the alcohol more than the extra water you're probably taking in.
Okay, so I think we've got a handle on all of that now. Managing our eating, managing our drinking. Your final point here is the one that I really like. You know, enjoying the season. For me, I'd be much happier just to draw a line. If I was stopping work on the 19th, I'd draw a line there. I draw a line on the first Friday after the New Year, so that'll be probably the 4th of January, and then I'll write in there. During this period, I'm not going to worry too much about my training. I'm not going to worry too much about my weight. I'm going to do my best to maintain that healthy status as we've talked about. But what I want to do is just get to the end of that Christmas and New Year break feeling healthy, accepting the fact that I might gain a kilo, accepting the fact that I'll do a little less training than normal, but ready to pick up with my training in a healthy state from that first week in January.
Absolutely. I think, is
that what you mean by enjoying the season?
As endurance athletes, we sometimes have trouble taking a break. There is this fear that if you don't train for a week, somehow all your fitness will just magically disappear. And it's not true at all. Actually, taking a break from your normal exercise routine, doing different things, refeeding, as I like to call it, not watching what you eat, can actually help prevent problems by getting rid of any, say, niggling injuries you might have. Maybe you need a week off. Maybe you are at risk of REDS, and actually eating quite a lot of food for a week or two can help rebalance your hormones and get your bones growing again. So I do think there are many, you know, health reasons to do it. But the most important one, of course, is mentally. No one can be perfect all the time. Sometimes we just need to give ourselves a break. And I find the other thing I mean by enjoying the season is to be more mindful and appreciate what's before you. If you are sitting down to Christmas dinner and your grandmother brings out her homemade Christmas pudding that she made back in October and has been watering with brandy for the last 3 months, and it only gets served on one day a year, you should absolutely have a serving of that and savor every bite. You should not be thinking of the calories.
Yeah, absolutely. And that word mindfulness is something that comes up again and again, Shannon, is, you know, I think you mentioned at the beginning that whilst we as athletes might be wanting to keep our calories down and keep our alcohol intake to a minimum, everybody else in our family wants to have a good time. And if we're the party pooper sat in the corner, we're going to be the one who's putting a damper on the spirit of the occasion.
Exactly. And you cannot, you might make it through Christmas without destroying your goals, but I don't know that you'll still have friends and family who want to see you anymore. And at the end of the day, it should be fun. Life is to be enjoyed. It's not to be suffered through for one race.
Yeah. Well, and not many of the people that I work with on a daily basis are full-time professional athletes whose yearly earnings are dependent on peak performance at specific times of the year. Most of these people are recreational athletes that do triathlon for a hobby. Yes, they're serious about it, but you can be serious at the right times. And in order to be deadly serious at the right times, you actually have to let your foot off the gas at the other times, because otherwise it almost, if you switched on 90% yes, all the time, exactly. It makes it hard to
and it's,
step
it's,
up that
as I said before, it's
to.
Just not good for your mental health. So both from a being able to enjoy time with your friends and family. So obviously, if you're not eating and everybody else is partying away, that's going to put a damper on the occasion. But also for maintaining your ability to eat, I don't want to say strictly, but watch what you eat at other times. No one's perfect all the time. If you know that you're not going to be perfect over Christmas and accept that and just go with it, you'll be far happier and far healthier mentally, which will then help your performance in the new year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, mental health's another thing that a bit like the Reds has been more in the news this year, is something that's pertinent to all of us at some stage, and definitely worth considering at this time of the year. So let me just recap then, Shannon, on what we've talked about. We talked right at the beginning about trying to maintain your healthy eating patterns and your fitness regime for as long as possible, but accepting that at Christmas and New Year, other people have agendas and you're trying to fit in with them. So you have to be flexible. You have to look for opportunities, even if they're shorter than normal, to do the exercise and maybe just see yourself as being active. There are opportunities to indulge yourself and have a good time with the friends, but these need to be balanced out with healthy eating and make sure you get the nutrients into your body as much as possible. Planning ahead really helps with that, particularly if you're going to a party or going out to a restaurant, and maybe getting a sneak peek at the menu before you go, so you can decide before you get there what you're actually going to have, and then plan your day's eating around that. That you need to choose your treats wisely. So you reference grandma's homemade Christmas pudding being a treat that you might choose, but some cheap crisps at the office party might be one that you avoid. And that, again, there's nothing wrong occasionally with having a few drinks, but if it's every night and it becomes too much of a habit, then your body's going to rebel. And that's going to affect far more than just your liver. And the very bottom line is, this is the festive season. It's festive and there are festivities. And as a human being, you have a right to enjoy those. So do so and then pick up where you left off in January in a healthy, mentally and physical state. And
yeah, exactly.
Be ready to hit the ground running on the 5th of January.
It's important to recognize that it is the festive season. You have the right to enjoy yourself without guilt. It's okay to have, you know, double your daily calorie intake one day a year. If it's Christmas or it's New Year's and you want to go out and party one day or 2 days a year, that is absolutely fine. Do it guilt-free, enjoy it, and you'll be in a far better state to hit the ground running in January.
Perfect. Well, listeners, that was Shannon Fizer, performance nutritionist, an all-round good egg. I like Shannon because she has a balanced perspective on eating, and I hope you did too. My name was Simon Ward. I was your host. This was the Triathlon Coach Swapcast. We'll be back with another podcast to round off the year. But for now, from Shannon and myself, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. That's a wrap for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the conversation, and I hope you learned at least one thing. If this is the first time you've listened in, please go back and take a listen to some of our previous guests, and I can guarantee they will be just as good as the one you've just heard. If you've been a regular listener, then thank you for being a part of this journey with me so far. Finally, I'd like to take just a few seconds to tell you about my SWAT Inner Circle program. In the last few years, I've spent an awful lot of time creating training programs and resources to help you train and race at whatever triathlon distance you choose, and for some of the events outside of triathlon like aquabike, duathlon and swim run events. As a SWAT member, you get access to all of these plans for 12 months of the year, and on top of that, we provide guidance on strength and conditioning, nutrition, plus a whole host of other supportive activities which help you to train, recover and race better. We also have a really friendly Facebook community. It's an exclusive Facebook page for SWAT members only, and there are over 150 of them already. If you join, you'll be able to get access to that page, and you'll be able to ask for help, and our members are all too happy to provide guidance and advice based on their experiences. I'll also be there to help you find solutions to your training problems, and all you have to do is tag me in the Facebook page in one of your posts, or you can book a 15-minute phone call should you need one. If you'd like more information, or if you're ready to press the button and join the SWAT Inner Circle, just email beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she will send you all of the details. So that's all for this week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week, same time, same place, with a different guest.